Shalom, friends. This is your friendly neighborhood podcast host, Jake Rubin. Welcome to MSU Hillel's The Weekly Kvetch. This podcast features news, interviews, and a whole lot of kvetching. So, I'm excited for you to join me and my trusty producers, Sophie and Nate, as we dive deep into all things Jewish.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Weekly Kvetch. I remain your host, Jake Rubin, and alongside my producers, Sophie, Nate, who isn't here, and MSU Hillel, we are super pleased to bring you a very, very special guest, Adam Lehman, who is the CEO of Hillel International. Welcome, Adam. Thank you for spending some time with us on this beautiful winter morning.
Yeah, thank you, Jake. Thank you, Sophie. Couldn't be more stoked than to spend a little time talking to MSU Hillel and other things, Sparty, or whatever else is on your mind.
Of course. Well, before we get started, we do have a quick word from our sponsors. So let's hear what our sponsors have to say. Let's hear it.
The Weekly Kvetch is sponsored by MSU Hillel, the place to be for more than 3,500 Jewish students at MSU. The Weekly Kvetch is also sponsored by Punxsutawney Phil's Bar Mitzvah. Mazel Tov.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, sponsors. That was very, very sponsorful of you. Okay, now we're going to move on to another section of our podcast. Let's give them something to kvetch about. Let's give them
something. Kvetch. Something. Kvetch. Kvetch.
So, Sophie, what are you kvetching about today?
So we're going to be kvetching about, you know, we love kvetching about the weather here, but it's a little bit of a twist. So today, on this recording, it is February 2nd, aka Groundhog's Day.
Is that really today?
Yeah, it is. I know. Mr. whatever the heck his name is, Phil
Punxsutawney.
Yes, that. He, whatever, I think he didn't see his shadow, which means spring is around the corner. I could totally be wrong about that, but he said spring is coming around the corner, so that's all that matters. This is a happy kvetch, because
happy kvetch,
even though we didn't have that mild of a winter, even though currently at the time of this recording, some of the states in the eastern United States have been getting hit with snow hard, but here in Michigan we are lucky, and that storm isn't hitting us for once. And we have some spring to look forward to.
Well, I hate to correct you right as we begin this section, but unfortunately I looked it up and Punxsutawney Phil has predicted 6 more weeks of winter.
Okay, I saw that. Okay, I'm sorry, listeners. Okay, I was doing research this morning and I saw that he said that spring was around the corner, but I also saw that there was 6 more weeks of winter, and
He saw his shadow, which unfortunately means that we are going to be in a winter snow and forecast.
Big sad.
Stupid little groundhog.
Stupid groundhog.
Here's what I have to say about this.
Stupid right? news for telling me the wrong information.
Stupid news. Fake groundhog, fake news. All right. Here's what I have to say about this. The groundhog is, have you seen Groundhog Day? Good movie. Big fan of Groundhog Day. But the shadow, it's like clouds and the thing, and I don't know. I don't get it, right? I think it's a little bit of humbo jumbo personally, but
Why do we rely on a groundhog to tell us anything?
When's the last time we talked about anything? I don't know. This is kind of turning into like a rant. So what if we combined Jake rant and the kvetch into one super kvetch rant? Let me talk to you about groundhogs, right? Here's the thing about groundhogs. When have you put a groundhog behind a wheel of a car? Never. Groundhogs should not be driving cars. Groundhogs should not be driving airplanes. Groundhogs should not be in charge of math. Groundhogs should not be in charge of astrophysicists. So why should a groundhog decide our weather? I'll say it. I see lots of groundhogs in the ground. Just kidding. I've never seen a groundhog before. I see lots of groundhogs on the TV, and I have never once said, why isn't this groundhog predicting things? Imagine I put a human down and I say, predict. How would the human know what to do? I wouldn't know what the human would know what to do. But here's the thing. Groundhogs and weather, I don't see the correlation. It's not like if a groundhog was predicting underground weather, maybe. He's not called a sky hog. He's called a groundhog. if he was called the Sky Hog, then I think we would have more better, you know, information about the sky and snow. It's not called a snow hog. I'm not called a snow human. I'm just called a human who can predict the snow weather. And so when Nate isn't here, the fetch turns into a rant, unfortunately, Nate. But yes. So do you have anything else to say about sky hogs, Sophie? I'm curious. This could be a dual rant.
I feel like a sky hog would be a bird, but like that looks like a groundhog, like a chubby bird.
A chubby bird. I like
a chubby mammal bird. I guess birds are mammals, right?
I don't know. I think they lay eggs. Is that a mammal?
I don't know.
Pigeon eggs aren't a thing. Oh no. Are they? No.
Yeah. No.
Pigeons? Eggs. Pigeon eggs for sale. Pigeons.
If you know some science and you would like to correct us, please leave us a nice comment in Apple Podcasts correcting us whether or not pigeons lay eggs or not. So thank you. Appreciate it. Neither have I.
I'll make an
The birds aren't real.
Birds aren't real. This is another thing to talk about too. Have you ever seen a bird and a government official in the same place? The answer is no.
Well, yeah, there's that one video of that one bird and Putin walking by, and the bird salutes Putin.
What?
After. You've never seen that?
No, should I look this up? Birds.
Look it up after, but it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that does this video show pigeon Putin's? Oh my gosh, what? that's funny. It's for those who need a visual. Put your arm to your head in a salute, and this is what the bird is doing. Because birds are not real. I've never seen a bird blink, but I have seen a bird box, like the movie. Like Kosha Dills last week. If you haven't heard our Kosha Dills interview, you should take some time and listen to us interview famous Jewish rapper Kosha Dills. It was quite an enlightening experience. Yes. It's a self-plug within. We did this last week too, which is funny. self-plugged. But yeah, so I think in conclusion, as Nate often likes to summarize what we've fetched or ranted about, birds are not real.
Groundhogs should not be
predicting the weather. We should leave that to the sky hogs, otherwise known as pigeons. Do pigeons lay eggs? The world may never know. If you know this, though, then I've never seen a pigeon egg, though, before. I'm just imagining like a pigeon egg omelet. That sounds kind of nasty, but yeah. So that was our little dual fetch rant. We both ranted a little bit. We both went off the rails. And so, yeah, so this was our fetch. And thank you. And God bless America. And God bless MSU Hillel. So, Adam, for those of us who might not know who you are, why don't you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and like the work that you do and kind of your journey to where you are right now as CEO?
For sure. Yeah. I'll break it into all three parts of that. So, cool. Grew up in the great state of Ohio. Don't hold it against me. Mm-hmm. Native Clevelander, but lots of friends, you know, even family members who made it north to Michigan. You know, I spent most of my career actually in business and technology and media, but was very involved in the Jewish community through my family. I'm married to my wife, Belinda, for 27 years. We have two daughters who are both in college right now. And through Camp Ramah and Federation, Synagogue, Jewish Day School, was very involved in the community. And about 5.5 years ago, I got a recruiter call to join Hillel at that point as the chief operating officer for Hillel International. I had done a lot of my career just building things up, you know, scaling, and particularly things that existed in a network, much like the Hillel system is networked around the world. And so to me, it was a really cool and interesting opportunity to take what I had learned in terms of business skills, strategy, applying data, thinking about talent, thinking about innovation, and bring that to bear in a purpose that really resonated for me in terms of, you know, caring about the Jewish community and, you know, the path forward for for young Jews. So that's how I got to Hillel. You know, since joining, I was appointed as president and CEO, which just means I get to work a little harder, and and that's all good, because again, it's really cool work. What we do at the Hillel International level is support the network of 200 Hillel affiliates, including Michigan State Hillel, you know, providing grants, providing staff support, training, and running some programs that operate across the whole Hillel movement. So it's great work, and yeah, very happy I found my way here.
Yeah, that sounds really fulfilling, and just being in charge of all the different Hillels, because these college kids, we need Hillels more than ever, especially now, and the work that you do, it's very appreciated. So just thank you. Before I keep going on, just thank you.
Yeah, and for sure.
A student to another kind of Jewish individual. It's a very, yeah, very needed.
Yeah, well, you know, appreciate the gratitude, but gratitude to you guys, because at the end of the day, Hillel works because you have students who are involved and choose to kind of take on the mantle of service, leadership, and just being a part of the community.
Thank you. So as president and as CEO, you talked a little bit about the role that you have, but can you tell us some of the work that you've done so far as president and CEO of Hillel? Because I think people might not really understand the gravitas that holds and like what you actually do on like a daily basis.
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying, I'm definitely not about the gravitas in the sense that my heroes are like Cindy Huey and Robin and the people in the field who, you know, lead Hillels and really make the work happen. So that makes it easy for me to get up every day and think about how I and our team can be helpful to them. In terms of some of the things that we focused on in the past year or so, with that in mind, number one, certainly resources. So, you know, we worked with all the Hillel affiliates to make sure that they could take advantage of the Small Business Administration loan program, where we generated about $10 million in support to make sure Hillel staff could remain employed even during the pandemic. And we raised about another $10 million to support local Hillels. That was through accelerating grant programs that we had put together with national foundations, and also putting together for the first time something called Hillel Global Giving Week, where we brought together every Hillel, ran a national campaign, really a global campaign, to raise support in the spring. Because during this pandemic, there's just been so much uncertainty, and having the resources to make sure we could retain staff, that was critical. So that's one piece, the financial piece. At a second level, you know, we brought staff together across the Hillel movement. We have 1,200 professionals who work across all those different Hillels and campuses. And, you know, it was really important to bring them together, make sure they could learn from one another about what was working, how to adapt to, you know, building issues, student issues, staff issues. You know, take Michigan State Hillel. You guys have an awesome building. I've been there. It's really so homey. And, you know, I've been there when it was buzzing with students. But, you know, Cindy and team had to figure out what you could open up, not open up, mm-hmm. And how you could use it. So that whole area of supporting staff as they work through this, that was a second big area. And the third thing we've done is to, you know, try to directly be there for students. So we created something called Hillel at Home, which is a movement-wide digital engagement platform. And it just felt like with students in many cases not able to get back to campus, having a way to connect digitally would be valuable. So we've had, you know, more traditional figures like Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, who passed away and was just an incredible Jewish leader and figure, or Natan Sharansky, who Soviet dissident who went on to be a critical leader within Israeli society, but also people like Amari Stoudemire, you know, former star of the New York Knicks, who has a really interesting Jewish journey, or Brené Brown, who's a super interesting and bright thinker within the leadership space. So that's been an innovation. The other, some other examples that we worked on our, we created higher holidays because I can't remember what you guys did at Michigan State, but many campuses, they actually couldn't hold services during the high holidays. So we created about 50 hours of programming that were all, you know, video based so that students all over the world and other community members could engage. And we had about 50,000 people stream those services. So that was really cool to, you know, be able to bring that to the movement. And then the final example I'll give you for, you know, the kinds of things we've been working on, we created the Hill College Fair because, you know, as you guys probably recall from a few years ago, when you're like in high school, typically you would go to campuses if you could afford it to go check it out, see what life was like, and even maybe stop by the Hillel and get a sense for Jewish student life. Certainly if your parents said, oh, come on, let's go to the Hillel. So, you know, in this environment, that has not been possible in many cases. So we created a virtual version of that where several hundred Hillels came on and connected with several thousand high school students, you know, so that students could get that feel for Jewish student life on campus.
It's really cool. Those are some really, really cool projects. So we're a little over the month into the new year with those projects alone, like Hillel at Home and those and the virtual college fair. Do you have any other projects on the horizon that you're looking forward to doing this year or things that you were kind of thinking about? Some like insider information for our listeners here.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. We'll give you little previews, little teases only for your listeners. These are breaking news. Well, I'll start with not so breaking news, but things that I think are kind of cool.
Yeah,
and worth sharing. So we're just rolling out a campus core service program where 100 campuses are going to have service interns who organize other students in terms of volunteer projects. And, you know, there's been a lot of service work happening across the Hill movement. Again, I've seen some great stories out of Michigan State Hill in terms of what you guys have done with the community. We just want to keep amping that up because, you know, I love when Hill can be not only a platform for the Jewish student community to come together, but for the Jewish community on campus to support, you know, the broader community. So, you know, so that's a fun one. Another one hot off the presses, we're just finishing up as we did we just did something called Winterfest. A lot of schools had, you know, pretty long winter break, sometimes up to 2 months. So, you know, we created a learning opportunity where about 1,500 students participated in learning cohorts along with Hillel staff. So that was pretty pretty fun as well. Here's the real preview stuff. So just so your audience knows, okay, wow, this is cool. So in terms of the go forward, we are, we're working on Passover and, you know, what we can do to support students during Passover. I don't think, although your listeners can email me if they feel strongly, I don't think we're gonna do like the largest, you know, Jewish student Seder ever. You know, that would be kind of fun, but we thought, you know, that Seders tend to be more like family oriented or friend oriented, a little more intimate. So we're going to set up a way for any group of students from a Hillel to host their own Seder. You know, if they want to do a second night Seder or third night Seder. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
We thought that could be kind of fun, you know, with all sorts of resources and even training for students if they want to lead, you know, their own version. So that's one thing that's, you know, world premiere. I don't think, you know, we're just talking about that. Some other things at the staff level, we are going to be trying to bring our staff together in the late summer. Now, all that depends on, you know, COVID developments and vaccines, but, you know, it's been really hard because a lot of what we do at the Hill International level, as I said, is support professional staff so that they're really well equipped to, you know, work with students on their campuses. And we haven't been able to get people together in person. So we have a program called Dwell where, you know, we bring staff together in the summer to really have a chance to renew themselves through music, through art, through learning. And so we're looking at, can we do that this summer? And I'm really hopeful, you know, that we have the chance for that. And, you know, and if we do it, we'll probably do it regionally to make it a little simpler. Now, a few other things, these are like just total whiteboard, but it's fun to like put them out there. I'd love to see us do like a venture fund that invests in student ideas for things that they want to do on their Hillels or for students everywhere. And so we've got a team, like a Skunk Works team. It's just thinking through what that could look like and, you know, how we would support those projects. So that's definitely something I'm excited about. And regardless of whether it looks exactly like that, we're going to do something to make sure, you know, I really want, students are often our best innovators. They're coming up with the coolest programs and coolest ideas. I want to make sure that we can make it easy for students to come up with those ideas and then not only implement them on their campus, but potentially, again, make them available across the whole Hillel movement.
That's really exciting. You heard it here first. Insider information. Don't tell anybody.
Seriously, Jake, I just want to tell all your listeners, please, you know, you can tell your family, tell your friends, but, you know, don't go to the New York Times or Wall Street Journal on this stuff because, you know, we still want an element of surprise.
Of course, of course. Of course, planning events and planning things is one part of the job. But what is your favorite aspect of being the CEO and president of Hillel? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's this kind of thing. I mean, I love being able to connect with students, being able to connect with our staff, and just get out and tell the story. Because I think, you know, one of the things that we do well within our community, but sometimes not beyond our community, is, you know, show how special Hillel can be. And, you know, the people who get involved tend to realize, wow, this is so cool. And it really gives me opportunities to grow, to learn, to be connected, you know, Jewishly and beyond. But, you know, we recently did some surveying, and I was shocked at the number of people who just don't know what Hillel is. And, you know, even among, you know, Jewish families that, you know, have kids in junior high school or middle school or high school. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, I love getting out, telling this story, helping people to understand what it is we can do. And I also just love spitballing, brainstorming, kind of like we're doing a little bit here, talking about what could be, you know, so that we just come up with cool stuff. So Hillel is a vibrant, always changing, exciting, you know, thing to be a part of.
That's really cool. So my final question for you is one of like a greater philosophical type question. Do you have any advice that you could give to all the Hillels, anybody who might be listening, like an inspirational message or something?
Wow, heavy question. I love it though. I love it because, you know, honestly, like, you know, we've been talking about some fun and lighter things, but,
of course,
you know, we do, Hillel exists to be transformative. We are here to ultimately inspire Jewish students and really anyone who wants to connect to the Hillel movement to, you know, be on their own journey and really become the person that they can be. And Jewish wisdom and Jewish tradition and Jewish community has so much to offer. We've got thousands of years. You know, as I said earlier, I come from like a more techie, you know, media kind of background, but there's a technology to Jewish life that it's like Google plus Facebook plus, you know, Microsoft plus Apple, in terms of, if you think of the longevity and power of what exists there. And so my only advice is, you know, get involved, make it your own, take advantage of what's there, leave behind what's not meaningful or relevant for you. Like, we are, one of the things that makes us unique is we're pluralistic. We don't say, here is what Jewish life is. We say, here is the breadth of what your Jewish journey can be. You know, it reminds me of, you know, Hillel the Elder himself. Mm-hmm. You know, people know the famous parable, or many do, of, you know, someone who said, well, you know, teach me the Torah on one foot. And, you know, Hillel shares, you know, it's, you know, not to do to others what would be hateful to yourself. Now go and learn. And it's the same thing here. It's like, God, Hillel can be your platform, your playground. Go and do it. Just go and make it what it can be for you, so that you come out even, you know, more inspired as a person, more equipped to lead, more equipped to be a person in the world who serves and helps others. So that's it, man. That's like, I think that's the advice, but also the invitation. And this is not advice, but it's just a request for anyone who is listening. If you have advice for us, you know, if you have advice for me in terms of what we can do to make Hillel better for you, I am all ears.
That's why we started the podcast.
Exactly. Just a way to fetch and kind of find the voice of the people in the greater Michigan and planetary area.
Yeah. Well, I must say a couple of things too. Number one, love the podcast name.
Thank
you. When I saw it pop up, I was like, yes, you know, we are a people of the Kvetch. I think I even have a book on my bookshelf, People of the Kvetch.
That's amazing.
And it's all good. It's like, we love to, you know, think about what could be better. And that's like a big part of Kvetching. And since I think this is podcast, right, it's audio, people are not going to see that I went the extra mile and got, you know, this is like a little bit of Sparty green. It's as close as I could get. In terms of, you know, the shirt I wore. So I know it's not video, but at least so your listeners can appreciate, you know, I'm all about Sparty today. This is my Michigan State day.
Yeah, go green.
Go white.
Very nice. So earlier in the podcast, I kind of went off the rails a little bit and I ranted, but at the request of Sophie, I will do another rant. So what I'm going to be ranting to you about is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So imagine this. I have been watching all the Marvel movies as of recent, which is why they're on my mind. But imagine this, picture this, close your eyes. Comic books are for nerds. These words are engraved in your head. Comic books are for nerds. Bam, 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 bam. You wake up every morning, you're like, you look at your Star Wars poster, you put on your underwear, your Iron Man pajamas, and you look at yourself and you're like, dang, I am a nerd, but I am proud to be a nerd. Now, a movie comes out. Close your eyes again. The movie is Iron Man. You can open your eyes. Iron Man. You're like, what the heck is an Iron Man? You know, you might know the song, meow, 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 which was on Guitar Hero 2, I think. And you go to see this movie. You're like, oh, this is pretty cool. Some guys at the end saying, join the Avengers. And you're like, what the heck is going on here? And then you watch another movie and another movie. And all of a sudden, boom, there's a cinematic universe. And you're like, wow. Hold on a second. Where did this come from? The answer is it's always been there. It's just been growing, man. I saw Infinity War in theaters. I saw Endgame in theaters. I was bawling my eyes out. I was standing, clapping, hooting, hollering. It was the best theater experience of my life. It was better than seeing Star Wars, better than seeing anything, better than seeing it. I saw Avatar in theaters twice. I cannot tell you a single thing that happens in that stupid movie. The one with the blue people.
So long, too.
I don't understand. You know, I'll say this about Avatar, and then I'll jump back in. Avatar, they greenlit a sequel, a trequel, a quatrequel to Avatar, the fourth one. And I'm like, how are we greenlighting more sequels when people don't even know what happened? The only thing I know about the first one is that the main character's name is Jake. And I was like, oh, that's my name. Jake Sully, that's his name. So I saw a guy going around the street and he was like a YouTuber by the names of Jax Films. And he was going up to people and saying, I'll give you $10 if you can name one character from the highest grossing movie of all time, Avatar. And they were like, they couldn't do it. And I was like, oh, my God. How can you watch a movie and not retain anything about that movie? Yeah. I don't know. But the Marvel Universe, I retain quite a little bit about because I collect comic books because I'm a nerd. So if you have an old comic book and it's laying around your house and you're like, oh, this might be of value, send it to me and I'll keep it. That's my little thing about comic books. What were we going to say, Sophie?
One more thing about Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
This is the thing that bothers me most about Avatar. Mm. Well, okay, so... this isn't what bothers me, by the way. I'm just saying what I like about it.
Okay.
So I did go on the Disney rides in Animal Kingdom, the Avatar Disney rides.
I haven't been.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Uh-huh. The flight of the whatever thing.
Mm-hmm.
very cool. Nice smells, as always. You can always count on Disney for the nice smells on the ride,
of course,
such as Lake Soarin'. But the one thing that bothers me most about Avatar is the fact that they chose papyrus as the font for the movie cover. Like, could you be any more lazy than choosing papyrus? Like, for real. Like, it's awful. Like, it totally makes sense now. No one was able to retain the plot of the story. Yeah, because your title is using one of the worst fonts in history.
What does papyrus look like?
Papyrus just looks kind of like,
for people ancient-y. Who might not know, such as myself, papyrus font. Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, papyrus is gross.
I'm a big fan of a font titled Wingdings, which are mailboxes and arrows.
Nope.
So if you have any complaints about the weekly kvetch, please use Wingdings and send it
please
to me.
Please do not use Wingdings. I will
mailbox, front base,
I will
mailbox.
Personally unsubscribe you from the podcast if you
oh
use
no,
Wingdings.
Don't unsubscribe. We need our listeners. We love you. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Yes. So in summary, papyrus, bad font, Avatar, forgettable movie, MCU, very good. Oh, let me say one more thing about the MCU. I watched all the movies recently. Best movie, Infinity War. Worst movie, Thor 2. Mediocre movie, Ant-Man. That's my take on the Avengers. I'm a big fan of Endgame as well. I saw all of them. And yes, I saw Endgame twice in theaters. So MCU, good. Not for nerds anymore. If you're a nerd, be proud to be a nerd. We're nerds. We're proud. We hold our underwear up high, our Iron Man, you know, tidy whiteies, and we go, I am a nerd, and you wave your underwear around, and then eventually, like Thor, you spin it so fast and you hold on to it, you can fly just like Thor. So if you want to fly like Thor, you keep listening to Kvetch, and I'll give you the secret to flying in our next episode. You have to listen, though, because I'll say it super quickly. Okay, well, that was my rant. Thank you. And yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now we're going to move on to our 20-second Torah portion. Let's hear it.
It's time for 20-second Torah.
Hi, I'm Rabbi Jenna Stein Turo, and this is 20-second Torah. This week's Parsha, Yitro, is when the Israelites receive the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. The Torah describes this intense scene with a mountain on fire and clouds full of thunder and lightning, and the Israelites are afraid of God. The word for fear in Hebrew can also be translated as awe, so I'm left wondering about the connection between awe and fear. Should we be afraid of God, in awe of God, some combination, or neither?
Very good. Thank you, 20-second Torah portion. All right, and now our final portion of the podcast, we are going to move on to Nate's favorite part, which is so sad because he's in here.
He's doing yoga.
He's doing yoga with
the blue characters from Avatar.
He's doing yoga with the blue characters from Avatar, and they're a little weird connecting things to their horses or whatever, their flying horses. So say hello to Nate and the little blue people from Avatar. So we're going to do Nate's favorite portion of the podcast. What is it called? Oh, the L'chaim of the week. I knew that. We've been doing this for a while. It's called the L'chaim of the week. And so what we do, if you're new to this, we give a quick shout out, a quick, heck yeah, to something that we're looking forward to in the coming week. I'll go first. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Just like normal, the weekend is a beautiful time of the year where I get to lay down and do nothing. And so I'm really looking forward to doing that. I'm looking forward to watching. Speaking of the MCU, I'm looking forward to seeing the new WandaVision episode, which drops on Friday. I don't know what's happening on that show, but hopefully soon I'll figure it out. And Sophie, what about you?
Good question, as always.
Thank you. Yeah.
I never, ever think previously before, coming up with these. Something good that did happen this week. I got my COVID results back and I'm negative.
Yay! So
good. Yay, no COVID.
Thank goodness. That's scary. Well, I'm glad you're okay. And then Nate's L'chaim of the week is to the blue people on Avatar. He wants to give a quick shout out to the blue people. So Nate, I will pass along this message from you to the blue people. Hello, blue people. I am Nate. I connected with your horses using the weird hair thing. Thank you, Nate. That was a very good L'chaim of the week. Well, kind of in conclusion, thank you for coming here today and spending some time with us. It was our absolute pleasure having you on today. When I found out that the CEO of Hillel was popping on, I was like, oh my goodness. And I should have worn something a little nicer in retrospect, but that's okay. What's here is there. But before we completely end, do you have any resources so people can connect with Hillel International? Where can people find more information about it?
Oh yeah, great question, Jake. Appreciate that. Go to hillelathome.org, .org, and you can find programming there. You can find service opportunities. You can find other ways to just get involved. You can also go to hillel.org, where we have more general information, but a lot of what's kind of cool and happening right now is being featured at Hillel at Home.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for spending some time with us on this beautiful winter morning. Thank you for wearing the green. We appreciate it. Our viewers, our listeners will also appreciate it. It has been an absolute pleasure. I still remain your host, Jake Rubin, and this has been the Weekly Kvetch. Bye.
And that's our show. Thanks for kvetching with us this week. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review and call a friend to tell them you love them. The Weekly Kvetch is hosted by me, Jake Rubin, and our executive producers are Sophie Dwoskin and Nate Strauss. This podcast is a production of MSU Hillel. Yalla bye, my friends.
Theme music produced by Peter Cooley.